This is wake up call for January 28th and 29th.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA wake up call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and as always, we're so glad you could join us today. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Melissa Potter's back with us. You've had a rough time.
I'm all better now.
That's good.
Ready to go.
All right. And Diane Ruffino is with us.
Hello.
And the main reason we have Diane is because she is so well-versed and educated about the Supreme Court. She studied under Judge Napolitano, and she studied the Constitution, and she's our go-to. She's a lawyer, and that's just one of many, many things that she's got hanging on her wall, but we're glad to have you with us tonight, Diane.
Glad to be here.
All right, so I thought we could talk about some of the Supreme Court cases that have been going on and are projected to come up in the future, and looking at the Washington Post, they say the Supreme Court's off to a historically slow start in failing to resolve any of the cases in which it has heard arguments for since early October. Now, does that still stand true?
I don't know.
Okay.
Keeping up.
Well, that was 8 days ago, so I haven't heard of any major rulings coming down.
Well, Rick, the one that we are aware of with Paloma Capana, the New York State was enacting severe gun store laws,
yeah.
And that are really interfering with our constitutional rights,
yeah.
For some reason, I'm not sure if it was the way it was written or whatever else, but the Supreme Court has decided not to hear it.
Hear the case.
Right. Mm. I talked with Paloma today, and she is working on, let me see what she said here real quick. She's under a Second Circuit filing deadline for Monday, so she's working on that, and on top of being really sick, so bless her heart. Well, let's jump at some of the recent things that happened in the not-too-distant past, and that was the abortion ruling on Roe versus Wade. I know a lot of people are happy that that went the way it went, but the other side has not given up. They're going to continue to try their best to force that on as many people as they can.
And from the pro-life side, of course, that's also not the end of people's moral decisions. I mean, people don't all of a sudden change their morality because of a change in law. I mean,
sure.
we still need to make the moral changes to the country.
Right. Right. So the Supreme Court is more conservative than it's been in a long time. And I see where Justice Kavanaugh is claiming that he says the relations are good among the justices, despite all the divisive cases that they're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to hear.
By the way, Rick, another thing on Justice Kavanaugh is back when they did a few days ago when they did the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. They were all outside protesting at Justice Kavanaugh's house yet again, even though the ruling had been made, they decided they had to go and protest there.
Are they going to do anything about the leaker?
They
said
don't know who
that
it is.
They did the investigation. They can't figure out
who
did it.
They don't know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah, they still haven't determined that. They've issued their report, but it didn't have any facts in it. Hmm. All right. Melissa, have you got anything on
I just want Diane to just give us start where you want to start, because I want to play student and she's the teacher because she's way smarter.
Well, let's look at that Dobbs decision again. That's the landmark, you know, decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. And basically, there's no change. It just says that there is no constitutional protected right to an abortion. Right? And the federal government can't mandate that. They can't protect that right because it's not in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So they said they bring that down to the state, and that's a state's decision. So every state is different, right? That's you know, what the 10th Amendment says. It's one of those reserve powers to the states. So it could be worse, right? There could be states that you could have an abortion even up into, you know, the day of delivery. And then there could be some states that would say you can't have an abortion at all. I can't imagine that happening. That would be wrong also.
And I think I'm going back to the original decision back then was based on abusing a case and actually being a Griswold versus Connecticut, where Connecticut was restricting birth control.
Contraceptives
in your bedroom.
Right.
And the fact is that they have no right, the government has no right to get into your bedroom,
right. But
that doesn't then extend this business that that somehow that was extended, that the government has no right to inside of a woman's body, mm-hmm. when yeah. that in fact is another body.
So, yeah, they said that was like a logical, you know, rational conclusion, and they said that, you know, it's privacy, and privacy in general is protected under the Bill of Rights, but it's not. I mean, it underlies a lot of rights, but it's not expressly protected.
And my rights end where I interfere with someone else's.
And the unborn is another individual, mm-hmm. you know, unique DNA. It's just unique. It's not like either parent. It's just unique. What I thought was really good about the Dobbs decision is that it recognized that the previous court, in a rush to appease feminists, mm-hmm. they created this new right. In this way, they could say, well, women they don't have to be hampered by a pregnancy if they want to go for a promotion in the workplace. They want to be equal on all footings. And, you know, pregnancy kind of is like a handicap, right? You know, women can't.
Somehow they classified it like a disease.
Yeah. And I thought that was so offensive. But they said that was wrong. The court overstepped their authority. They didn't interpret the Constitution properly. They just had what they wanted to, their conclusion. They had their conclusion decided. They'd know what they wanted to decide. They just had to get there. So they just manipulated, and they did, you know, what Scalia said was, judicial hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they set the record right, and if the decision actually, it does belong to the states, and now that's where it's, North Carolina can use, I think, some more of a moral compass.
Yes.
So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the role of the Supreme Court. Of course, the Supreme Court is the highest court in the federal judiciary of the United States. Mm-hmm. It has ultimate appellate jurisdiction over all U.S. federal court cases, mm-hmm. and over state court cases that involve a point of U.S. constitutional or federal law. It also has original jurisdiction over a narrow range of cases, especially all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party. Mm-hmm. The court holds the power of judicial review, the ability to invalidate a statute for violating a provision of the Constitution. And the reason I wanted to read that is because there's so many people out there that aren't well-educated on the Constitution, especially a lot of kids coming out of school nowadays. They're not real familiar with the Constitution or the role of the Supreme Court, what powers it actually has. A lot of them mistakenly think that the Supreme Court makes law. And it doesn't.
Well, they do sometimes.
But they're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to, right? And they're not supposed to substitute their opinion for this opinion or the intent of a legislature. They're just supposed to interpret it in many cases, they have substituted, like with the case of the health care bill, right? Roberts substituted his understanding of the bill as opposed to the Congress, right? Congress made it clear that the penalty is not a tax, right? I mean, they sold it to the American people. The penalty is not a tax. And then Roberts, the bill was unconstitutional. They couldn't support it by the Commerce Clause or anything else. So Roberts did his, you know, his judicial hijinks and you know, manipulations, and he made
it. Sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand. He classified the penalty as a tax and supported the bill under the guise that the penalty is actually a tax, and they have the taxing power to do that. So Roberts committed judicial activism. He alone did that because the end is what they need to do. They need to keep the health care bill alive. They have to support the federal government, make sure the government has that power. So this is what we see in a lot of decisions.
Well, he's not the first and only one to do that.
He's a disappointment in that regard.
Mm-hmm. My statement was not to be taken literally, that they don't do it because they do, and that's my point. They're not allowed by the Constitution. Right. It's not a role of the Supreme Court to make law.
Right. Rick, where did you read that definition of the Supreme Court?
Oh, that's Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Because if you go to the Constitution and read Article 3, it's really brief. It doesn't say much about the court except for the jurisdiction and the kind of cases it can hear. The thing about the Supreme Court, the Congress has the power to withhold certain types of cases from it. You know, like if they don't want it to ever hear an abortion case again, they can, by decree or bill or whatever, they can remove that jurisdiction from the Supreme Court. And they did that during the Supreme Civil War, the war to prevent Southern independence, war between the states. They did that back then because I forgot, it was one of the cases, and they didn't want the Supreme Court to rule on it because they didn't want to lose. So at the very last minute, they took jurisdiction away from the court. In fact, apparently a congressman or a senator walked across the street to the Supreme Court and handed that the bill to them. So there's a lot of manipulations that goes on in the government to get what they want.
Yeah, I think the Dred Scott decision was
say
one
it
of
isn't
those
so.
That
yeah.
Dred Scott was one
Dred
that,
Scott which is still actually good law. I mean, precedent for some things. But the 14th Amendment, Section 1, overturned the citizenship aspect of Dred Scott. And if you're African-American, you're a descendant of someone from Africa, you can never be a citizen, right?
Ooh.
The population in the United States was never meant to include African-Americans, right? It says it right in the decision. It's horrible, horrible, demeaning decision. So that was overturned by the 14th Amendment. And if you read my recent article on my blog site, The Unconstitutionality of the 14th Amendment, I don't believe, and many people don't believe, legal scholars don't believe the 14th Amendment was constitutionally
in itself
enacted and ratified.
Even though it overturned some bad law,
there's no reason that Congress can just propose another amendment like the 14th Amendment
and do it
the right way, right? Because the Southern states had no say in that, in its proposal or its ratification, because they were under military rule. And the military district, the generals, the Northern imposed governments at the time, they're the ones that ratified it for the states.
And I believe even it here in North Carolina, back at the last election, they were one of the parties was trying to exclude certain candidates based on the 14th Amendment.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was like, I think that was civil rights, and that was Reconstruction Act.
Reconstruction.
And, you know, and here's another tidbit of information, if you read my article. if it were not for the Southern states' refusal to ratify the 14th Amendment, because none of the states did, except Tennessee, I think, if it weren't for their lack of cooperation in ratifying the 14th Amendment, we would have never had the Reconstruction Acts. Mm-hmm. Reconstruction was only imposed because of the Southern states' refusal to pass the 14th Amendment. And again, that's it took all rights from the Southern states, kicked them out of Congress. They couldn't seat their representatives. Anyway, that's a tidbit.
All right. Well, the point I was trying to make.
Sorry. I hope I made my point.
Point I was trying to make is that a lot of the people, including our legislators, think that the Supreme Court is the final say, and that's not necessarily true. They are to issue rulings. On opinions.
Opinions, yeah.
Right. They give you their opinion. Well, once they hear a case, they don't settle the case or make additional laws. The only way they settle the case is if it's one of the exceptions under their right. jurisdiction. Yeah. All right, let's take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Diane Rufino with us, and we're talking about the Supreme Court, and Diane's got some landmark cases that occurred in 2022. And. Yeah. Well, we're going to spend some time talking about them, Diane.
All right. So aside from the Dobbs case, which overturned, Roe v. Wade, and apparently is causing national uproar, there was the case of New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And that was a case that challenged a New York law requiring proper cause for someone to get a permit to carry a weapon outside of their homes. Prior to that, you have to, if you wanted to carry outside the home, it could only be to like a firing range or something, and you had to have the gun in pieces and the ammunition locked up separately in the car. It was so against the Second Amendment. It was just an affront to the Second Amendment.
It wasn't even about concealed carry. It was just about firearms themselves.
The law?
Yeah.
No, it was about the right to carry outside of the
home. Yeah, but it's not to carry concealed outside of the house. It's to carry any arms.
Anything, right.
Any arms outside of the house.
So New York, you know, has been like the premier state to challenge the Second Amendment. They absolutely despise the Second Amendment. And they'll do anything. And they are still doing. They're passing all kinds of laws to prevent or for gun control. Now they're going after dealers, right? Gun
yes.
dealers.
And I full disclosure, I grew up in New York, and we had I had friends with all gun racks in the back of their trucks and whatever else at high school and whatever else, and we could work on firearms at school when I grew up.
So this case was written by Clarence Thomas, which I believe is the most conservative justice on the court right now. He was, he was nominated to the court by Elder George Bush. Right? In like 1991.
Oh, yeah. That was the whole,
Yeah. And that was with the...
Teddy Kennedy tried to destroy him.
No, that was Bork.
Oh. That was Bork that Teddy Kennedy went after.
Yeah, they tried to Bork him too, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this case, written by Clarence Thomas, he said that the proper clause requirement violates the 14th Amendment by preventing law-abiding citizens of ordinary self-defense needs from exercising their Second Amendment right to, you know, keep and bear arms. He said there's no difference between the right to self-defense in the home as opposed to outside the home. You have to preserve, is self-preservation is equal in your home as outside. And sometimes it's even more dangerous outside the home.
For sure.
So anyway, so this was the second landmark, the third landmark decision for the Second Amendment. We had the Heller case in 2008. We had the McDonald case in 2010. And then now 2022, we had the Bruin case.
The thing to look at too is these cases are not going the way of the Second Amendment by a large majority. We're hanging on to the Second Amendment by a thread. And the recent New York law that they refused to hear the case included such things as if you were a gun shop, you had to have 24-hour surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
You had to hold those surveillance records for 2 years.
Yeah.
There were all kinds of
restrictions
to make it very difficult to own a gun shop.
Yeah, yeah. They put a lot of them out of business.
You know, there's more than one way to end the Second Amendment, and they're trying all of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's... That's another landmark case. And there was another landmark case that I thought was, I call it a landmark case. I don't know if anybody else does. But it was a case of Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. And this was the case of a football coach, a high school football coach, who would go to pray after they would win. He'd go to the
middle of the field.
Yeah, and he would pray and thank God for the win and thank God, you know, for his team and all that kind of stuff. And the school district told him to stop. And he thought, well, this is my right to pray. This is my religious, my exercise, my free exercise of my religious beliefs.
And he wasn't forcing anyone to join him.
But yet some of the students wanted
to join him. The students voluntarily joined him.
Because they felt God had something to do with it, you know? So anyway, he filed suit. And the Supreme Court said the Constitution neither mandates nor permits the government to suppress such religious expression. The school district acted on a mistaken view that it has a duty to suppress religious observances, even as it allows comparable secular speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we see this with Jack Phillips, the Colorado cake artist. There's another lady, a florist, was harassed for her religious beliefs. And they try to run these people out of business because they hate their religion. They're targeting, they seem to target religion, but allow everything else. You know, So I'm glad to see the court is fighting back and reinstating our fundamental notions of what it means to have religious liberty.
Right.
I don't know what there's a lot of cases. I was looking through the cases of the past 2 years. But is there any other case you want to talk about?
Well, Diane.
Yeah.
How many cases do they normally hear in a year?
I think it's under 200.
It's under 200. Yeah. I mean, they're presented with 10,000 cases a year, and then they have to whittle it down to the couple of hundred. I mean, these judges and they're really only working from, I say, quote, they're only working from October through the end of June.
Well, they have two sessions, though, right?
Yeah.
They have a spring session and they have the winter session.
Yeah, but their landmark decisions often come out the end of June, I believe it is.
That's the end of the spring session.
Yeah.
And December.
They have to make a lot of decisions, and they have to have whittled it down to the better cases. And that sounds strange. So when we talk about landmark decisions, or when you talk about landmark decisions, if you're presented 10,000 or even more than 10,000 cases, and you have to whittle it down to the best 200,
yeah.
I mean, that's not 2%. That's 0.2% of the cases.
Yeah. And I think they look for cases. I think they're judging the social timing. Is this a good time to hear this type of case? Is it ripe? You know, should we wait? Like, they hadn't heard a Second Amendment case as far as what the definition is of Second Amendment until 2008.
Yeah.
Right? And I guess that's because they didn't want to tackle the question. They knew it would be controversial. But 2008, we had the right people in, right justices in place.
Mm-hmm.
We got the right decision.
Right. And talking about the New York deal, back in June, the Supreme Court actually did a ruling upholding the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So they've come up with some other laws that they're trying to enforce now.
Yeah. They're approaching it from a different angle. The deal.
How did we get to a point where the Second Amendment is controversial?
I don't know, because
school shootings.
It's just such plain English.
Yeah.
The right to keep and bear arms
shall not be infringed.
Yeah.
Now, how can they twist that so many different ways?
You know, I was looking at, and I was, this is for another article I wrote, but school shootings is the reason that they're going after the Second Amendment. They're blaming the Second Amendment for the school shootings. And we all know guns don't shoot themselves. So I was looking at the Supreme Court took out prayer from school in 1963 or 62, mm-hmm. and then took out all Bible readings in 63. And if you look at every decade after that, we see kind of an exponential growth or increase in school shootings and in the number of abortions. So
I think without
religion, we don't have morality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we don't have virtue. And, people just don't know right from wrong anymore. And they don't care who else they hurt. And any good totalitarian regime or whatever, is they go after the things, they make other people suffer for the wrongs of a few. And that's what they're doing with the Second Amendment. And I'm glad we have a conservative court. We have five conservative justices as opposed to two liberals. Then there's the wishy-washy Justice Roberts. But we have a good majority now, a solid majority. And if we could bring some of these cases, like they want to reevaluate the Obergefell case, which is affirmed gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that was an overreach of constitutional interpretation.
Now, I may be a minority here, but I'm my feeling on gay marriage is that as long as you leave the church out of it.
Exactly.
If people want to have civil unions,
I
don't care.
I agree.
But don't force the church or anyone else to participate in something that they think is wrong.
Right.
And I also want to back you up a minute. The decision to take prayer out of the schools, you're looking at it as a beginning. I'm looking at it as an end. If you look at the 1950s, we were a very prosperous nation.
Yeah.
And I think we lost our way during the 50s, which is why the generation that came of age during the 60s made such a mess. I don't think it was taking prayer out of school, because that generation, by the time they took prayer out of school, was already in high school. I think the foundation was attacked in the 50s. We lost our way. I don't know exactly.
Free love, the hippie culture.
But all those kids.
Right. But what happened in the 60s
with
that culture?
Drugs.
What happened after that? It morphed into the Jesus movement.
Yes. Okay. But what I'm saying is the generation of the 60s grew up in the 50s.
Right.
And because their foundation was not properly laid, that's when we saw it acted out in the 60s.
Right. And the generation that grew up in the 60s morphed into the Jesus movement.
They went the other way.
Right. So everything cycles. Let's take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Diane Ruffino with us, and we're talking about the Supreme Court. And Mary and Diane, both, you had some good points there before we went to break. And you were talking about the moral aspects of it. And we talked a little bit about the freedom of religion, First Amendment, and the Second Amendment. Well, those are the foundations of our country. Those are the cornerstones, the freedom of speech and the freedom to defend yourself, to keep and bear arms.
And freedom of religion, because that forms your conscience.
And that's why it's under such attack all the time, because they know if they can destroy those cornerstones, if they can break apart the church, break apart the family, get rid of your right to stand up against them or to speak your peace, then they can conquer.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important for people nowadays to really be familiar with the Constitution, know what the amendments are, know what they mean, and be prepared to stand up and fight for them, because if we lose those cornerstones, we've lost our country. All right, back to you, Diane.
Okay. There's still another case that last year, past year, May, that was a case brought by a group, I think they were called the Camp Constitution. And this is a case out of Boston. And there's a plaza where groups can petition or request to hold an event there.
Copley Square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. And they have three flag posts.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it's a state flag, the U.S. flag, and then the flag of the group's choice. And it's open. It's a general, agreement or general benefit is you can put your flag up. Well, Camp Constitution, they had a flag, and it was religious in nature because it was celebrating the contributions to the Christian community. Well, the group, the Camp Constitution, they got approved to use the plaza, but they said you can't raise the flag. So, they can't raise your Christian flag. And they said that they were worried that if they flew that religious flag over the plaza, it would violate the Establishment Clause. You know, mean government can't take a position on something. They can't have a political view. It would violate the Establishment Clause. And so that was the reason they gave for disapproving the flying of the flag. That Camp Constitution filed suit, saying it offended their and violated their free exercise. And the Supreme Court held that that's right, that they have a right there under the Free Exercise Clause to fly that flag. And Boston was wrong in denying them. It allowed every other group to fly their flag, but again, discriminated against a Christian flag, against religion.
Specifically against
one
group. So this is, free exercise is the right of all Americans, right? It's not the government's right, but they were using it to kind of punish this group. So in a string of decisions from last year and maybe 2021, they're upholding First Amendment. They're upholding freedom of speech. They're upholding freedom of religion. So we have to be happy about some of these cases.
Oh, yeah. It's looking
good, right?
You're right, for the future.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because we're still in the middle of the woke time where at any time we can offend somebody else just by speaking.
I think the woke time is coming to an end because, as I've always said, if you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've given them enough rope, and now people are really getting tired of this mess. Hopefully, we're approaching the end of the woke time.
The woke time, yeah.
We hope so. I mean, but it's getting to the ridiculous.
Too ridiculous.
Yeah.
While Diane was talking, I'm scrolling here through some of the news articles. And I just have to say, I never thought I would be in support of Diane Feinstein.
Oh, come on.
Why? Is she retiring?
No term. No. No term limit on her. No.
But Adam Schiff has announced he's running for her seat.
So. Yes. Oh, really? Wait, aren't they going after him for something?
Well, they refused his seat on the Intelligence Committee.
That's it. That's
because
it.
He lied.
Yeah.
And he continually used that position to lie.
Yeah, he's a serial liar. Yeah. Just like other, you know, Democrats.
Well, I didn't mean to jump the train off the track here, but
but you did.
I couldn't help myself.
We can't help ourselves.
I'd much rather have Feinstein in there than Schiff.
Well, you know, I'm ready to disclose to the FBI that I may have taken classified documents when I was in the military. And if you're coming to check my house, would you please bring stuff to wash the windows and de-dust the blinds and all of that stuff? So,
yeah, I have to confess, I've had classified documents in my home when I downloaded WikiLeaks.
That's true.
I think we should all have files and just write on them, classified.
Classified, yes, yeah. Ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous.
Well, while we're talking about that, you know, what about our right to privacy and all in our home? And I can't quote it off the top of my head, but
the thing.
The 14th Amendment. Oh, yeah.
Now, there was a case. I read this case where there was a girl. She was complaining about her boyfriend. He was, I don't know, he was verbally abusing her or whatever like that. So she went out. She left the house. She went to stay in a hotel. But he put a gun on the table. And he goes, if I'm so bad, you
Rhode
know, shoot.
Island.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, then just shoot me, right? But so she leaves the house. She goes to a hotel, spends the night. Next day she tries to call him and there's no answer. So she feared, well, there was a gun. He was mad. We had a bad fight. So she called the police and said, can you go to the house and check to make sure that...
do a wellness check.
Yeah, right? So they go to the house and they see the gun and they say to the guy, maybe you need to speak to a psychiatrist. And he agreed. He goes, yeah, I'll agree to go and speak to a... So they take him away. While he's away, they go through the house and they find, weapons and they take them. They seize them. And so he claimed that was his Fourth Amendment violation, right? There was no warrant, and they had no reason to believe that he would pose a threat to himself or anybody else. It was just on the girlfriend's, word. So he says unreasonable search, and they can't use any of that information in anything, like any lawsuit or, indictment or whatever. So he won that case, and the Supreme Court said, that's right. That's the Fourth Amendment has to be taken seriously. And it's what it says. You have to be safe in your person and your effects and your home and all that stuff. And what they did was they abused their authority as police officers, and they violated his rights. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to see that they're upholding our Bill of Rights, our rights.
I'll read the Fourth Amendment so everybody out there can get a clear understanding. It is the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Yeah.
Now, that's not
like Joe Biden's garage? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Next to the Corvette.
Hey, yeah. It's not parked on the street, okay?
Well, the garage door is locked. All right.
But Hunter has the key.
Oh, Lord.
Hunter was living in the garage. He didn't need the key.
Is this, are we talking about Rick's garage?
No.
Okay, because I just want to say he's got a vicious, vicious dog.
That will lick you to death, yes.
Yeah.
He is kind of vicious when he wants to play and you don't. All right, man, did we really fly off the track there? So, anyway, the whole purpose of that is there are a lot of cases here recently of, I believe, unreasonable searches and seizures.
Yes, there
and
are a lot of them.
I believe they were unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how they seem to be dominant on one political side. Yeah. And totally not on the other side.
Yeah. And warrantless warrants or non-existent warrants.
Yes.
Right. So.
Well, do you guys think that, and this is just moving on, because I'm bored, but if you guys.
How can you be bored? This is constitution stuff.
Do you guys think that any of these, after they go through the appeals, these insurrectionists, any of theirs will make it to the Supreme Court?
I hope so. I really do. I mean, I hope we find out the truth on a lot of things.
What, you don't trust the committee report that just came out at all?
Their civil rights have been drastically violated.
Yeah. They
went after the Oath Keepers.
Yeah.
And I forgot the guy's name of.
Well, you know, we've also seen situations where they've gone after somebody who used their credit card in Washington, D.C. on that day.
Yeah.
Period.
But the Oath Keepers, I personally know Stuart Rhodes, who's the founder of the Oath Keepers. We brought him in many years ago to address our state legislature on, I think it was the Patriot Act or something like that, and how it's a slippery slope. They're banning this or they're targeting this, but where is it going to lead? You know,
overstep their bounds.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And Stuart Rhodes gave a great presentation, and he showed the law that presidents use to take people's rights away. And about five legislators showed up for that presentation.
Wow.
It was I mean, he flew in from, I don't know, like Michigan or Wisconsin, whatever, but it was so informative. They are such a good organization. They support the Second Amendment. They were there, from what I understand, they were there to protect the police, to help the police.
Yes.
Right? So to say that they are indicted as, you know, conspirators and insurrectionists is just such insult. And
they were set up.
Yeah.
Well, how many FBI agents were in? They were infiltrated by at least
Ray
three.
Epps, anyone?
Yeah.
Look, well, Ray Epps gave an interview. His life has been ruined because of those conspiracy theories, Mary. So back off.
Well, Section 1 of the 14th Amendment is pretty clear about it. It says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And boy, is that being violated right and left.
You know, the 14th Amendment is the number one provision of the Constitution where people bring lawsuits. So what is that? I mean, if they go back and they find out the 14th Amendment is not constitutional, what does that say about all the cases that have been filed under the 14th Amendment? That's why I don't think they ever bring that issue up before the court.
Well, that's one of the biggest things with me now is equal protection under the law. That's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's a fairy tale.
It is.
There is no justice system left. I know we're talking about the Supreme Court and all that, but for a large part, the justice system is just totally
It's everyone's sense of justice and everyone's judge and a jury, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the founding fathers were very wise and creating the Constitution the way they did, but I just don't believe they could see or that they would believe that there could be so many people as immoral and corrupt as we have in government today.
Yeah, I don't think they ever foresaw that they would remove religion, you know, from the public square. I think that we were always meant to keep religion.
Well, they thought they had put things in place to prevent that.
Right, because
but it only works if somebody stands up against it.
Right.
And that's where we failed.
Yeah.
The churches have failed. We have failed.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of the research I'm doing, I see where there were so many warning signs back in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, telling us this is what's going to happen. This is what is happening, and this is who's doing it, and this is how they're doing it, and this is why they're doing it. And we had our heads in the sand.
No one paid attention.
Right. Give you an example. Today, my wife was watching TV, and she likes to watch the old stuff. So she turned on the TV, and The Outer Limits, if any of you remember that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That came up, and it started out, the guys in the lab with the monkeys got the hazardous suit on and all that, and the vial gets broke, and the virus gets out, and they're talking about mRNA research, and this was in 1995. I thought mRNA was new.
Oh, no.
Something that just was coming out. Yeah, no.
I was in grad school for molecular biology in the 80s, grad school. And that was the era when they were coming up with those molecular biology techniques and things like that, recombination. And they were finding out new enzymes, enzymes to put DNA together to just cut them up and all that kind of stuff.
Right. But it's amazing, all the stuff.
Yeah,
1984. Okay.
Yeah.
The X-Files. You look at some of these movies and shows that were on, and it's like they knew what was happening today.
Yeah, 1984 was not supposed to be a how-to manual.
No.
I came across a clip of Mr. Rogers singing, "Only boys can be the daddies, and only girls can be the mommies."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Rogers. Yep. Okay, we got to take a third quick break and then wrap the show up. So let's hear from our sponsors.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, Diane Rufino's with us, and we don't have much time, but Diane had one more case she wanted to talk
about. Yeah, this is important. I don't know if you remember, but back in 2017, the case of Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. In that case, the Colorado Court of Appeals found Jack Phillips. The Supreme Court found Jack Phillips as a cake designer, not a cake baker. He was engaged in what they call, you know, free speech, free expression. And they said that he was, he had the right to refuse a same-sex couple who asked for a cake to celebrate that same-sex marriage. He had the right to decline, to design a cake for them. So Alliance Defending Freedom was the one that brought that case on behalf of Jack Phillips. Now, recently, and maybe it was today or yesterday, the Colorado Court of Appeals found Jack Phillips, found against him in a suit against him by a transgender lawyer for not designing a custom pink and blue cake celebrating the gender transition. So Alliance Defending Freedom will stand by Jack once more and will appeal this decision. Now, Jack Phillips continues to fight for his right to speak freely, to exercise his firmly held religious beliefs, and he wants to stand firm against the harassment and against those that want to punish him for his beliefs. So I just wanted to bring that up because we have to stand behind.
Well, I'm going to have to correct you. He's fighting for all our rights.
All our rights.
All our rights. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. Visit our website, cctaxpayers.com, and see what's happening at our next public meeting.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.